If you would, this morning, open your Bibles to the book of Acts as we continue our study through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 is where we'll be today, looking at verses 17 through verse 35 there. In the book of Acts, Luke records eight messages given by the Apostle Paul to various groups of people. Paul spoke to a Jewish synagogue. He preached to Gentiles, to church leaders, to a Jewish mob, to the Jewish council, various other government officials. In our passage today, Paul addresses the Ephesians elders in a very unique way. For as Paul addresses them today, he gives us a glimpse of Paul the pastor. Not Paul the evangelist or Paul the defender of the faith, but he gives us a picture of Paul the pastor. And the message enables us to get a glimpse of how Paul ministered in Ephesus for his 3 years that he was there. His goal of this message that we will see today is very simple. Certainly was to encourage those in leadership as well as all of those within the church. But as he unfolds this message today, he gives us a picture of being an example. You know, setting the example for others. For understand this, folks, that someone is always watching. Somebody has got their eyes on you. It may be a grandchild, it may be a child, it may be that person at work. Maybe it's that person that you run into at Walmart all the time. We don't know. But somebody has got their eyes on you. And it's our responsibility to set a good example. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." And this is the challenge that he gives in this last letter that he's writing to the Ephesians, encouraging them, the leaders, those within the church, to follow the example that he has set because he is following Christ. Because there would be so many people in the city of Ephesus that still were looking, that did not know Christ. And so it was important for the church to set the example. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to open up your word and share it. Father, we thank you for the beautiful music that was sung this morning that exalted and lifted up your name. We thank you, Father, for the testimony that we've seen already, Father, through these boxes going and reaching children. Children that can't hear, but yet they can still come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But Father, as we unfold this passage of Scripture this morning, guide us through it. Help us to see what we need to see today that will help us to be a better example, not only to one another here, but to those all around us, those that need to hear about Christ. I pray this morning that we would be encouraged. I pray this morning that we would hear from you. I'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start in verse number 17. It says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to be to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.'" The first thing that Paul shows us here is his faithfulness to preach the word of the Lord. He opens up the text here by inviting the elders to come and gather together. We know that word elders there refers to the leadership of the church. Paul describes their function as overseers, shepherding the flock. We'll see that when we get to verse number 28. We know from our studies here that word elder or shepherd is a term that we use that refers to the pastor of the church. And he says from the very first day that he arrived at Ephesus, he came as an ambassador for Christ. He did not come as a politician. He came as an ambassador representing the king. I read these words once. It said, "Paul's words to these elders focus on personal character, not positional skills." And listen to what it says. "Influencing people requires integrity. Impressing them requires only talent. Paul did not come with a man as talents. He came with as a man of integrity. And for 3 years, he continued to proclaim the gospel. And he had given men opportunity to look at his smile, his ministry, his style of ministry. And he has set a model before them. If you look there in verses 18 and 19 there, he says, you know, from the first day that I came, he said, what matter I lived among you. Paul shares with us, folks, here in the verses 18 and 19, he shared his motive for ministry. His motive was found in that little phrase there, serving the Lord. You see, he was not interested in making money. He was not interested in enjoying a very easy life. For Paul tells us throughout his other letters, he identifies himself as a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to serve the Lord. And he was careful to let the people know that his motives for ministry was spiritual, not selfishness. You've seen my ministry for 3 years, Paul says. You know my ministry, the motive behind my ministry. My motive has always been to tell people about Jesus Christ. He also says in those verses the matter of his ministry. He lived in a constant, he lived a consistent life, and anybody could inspect it. But as you looked at the life of the Apostle Paul, he served with humility. He did not come as a religious celebrity demanding others serve him, but he came in humility. And you know from our studies that humility is not a sign of weakness. Paul had the courage to face trial after trial, danger after danger without quitting. He says, you've seen my ministry. You know, I serve with humility and perseverance. He never sought to become the focus of his ministry. It was never about Paul. It was always about Christ. And Paul did not give up. Many times that he was persecuted and all the things that happened to Paul. Read the book of Acts and you see that. He didn't quit. He did not quit. He stayed with it. He saw, you see my ministry. Folks, we can hardly exaggerate the importance of setting a good example as a Christian. Like Paul, when we serve the Lord, our motives need for serving the Lord must be right. And we must also serve with the determination not to give up. Serve with humility, serve with perseverance. You know, when somebody visits our church, they should see us here. And when they come back a year later, they should see us here. They should see us still serving the Lord. Listen to the statement that I read. Listen, it says, the question of whether we will be examples does not apply. The only question is how good an example will we provide? It's not the question, do I be a good example, but how good of an example will you be? Another statement I read was this, if we are to be examples of Christian living, then we must start with this essential quality, folks, humble submission to our master. And Paul says, I've set that example before you. You've seen that my motives were right. You have seen my humility. You have seen my perseverance in serving the Lord. And because of that, in verse 20 and 21, he says, I've been a faithful witness. He says, I've declared or proclaimed, he says in verse 20 and 21 there. He shared with them everything that was profitable to them. That word declared or proclaimed means to preach, to tell, or to announce. It implies him preaching the gospel, but then he also says, not only had he proclaimed it to you, he said, but I also taught you. Speaks of giving instructions to those who have already become believers. We talked about that last week. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of evangelism, and last week looked at the importance of discipleship. The two must go together. And Paul said, you can look at my ministry and you know from the first day that I got there, what did I do? I taught you openly, publicly, house to house, not only proclaiming the gospel message, but taking those aside and teaching them the word of God so that they might grow closer to you. And he said, I preached to everyone, Jew and Gentile. Paul did not show any partiality towards any group. Every person is alike in his or her need to turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I've been a faithful witness. Everyone that I've come in contact with, he said, I've tried to share the gospel with them. and also teach them the word of the Lord. And so, folks, Paul's message is very relevant for the church today. You and I need to be setting the example right here. We need to be setting the example of the church. Those that are in leadership here, those that are a part of the body of Christ here, we must make it our decision today to serve Christ with humility and perseverance, not giving up. When the opportunity is given to us to evangelize and share the gospel, we need to be ready to do that. When somebody comes to know Jesus Christ, we need to take that person and help disciple that person and help them to grow in their relationship with the Lord. We don't know how many people, young people might come to know Christ Friday night. We don't know. We don't know even the little kids that come for the fall festival and their parents are there with them. We don't know who might receive the Lord. These are opportunities to evangelize. And Paul has set the example for us. He said, from the very first day, you know I came with humility and perseverance, and I shared the word, not only evangelizing, but teaching others the word of God. That was the example that he had set before them. In verse 22 through 27, he speaks about his commitment to the Lord. Listen to what he says. And he says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that the chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching to the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. In this section, Paul explained to the Ephesian elders his plan to go to Jerusalem. The little phrase there, and behold now, shifts from his emphasis from the past to the present. He said in the first set of verses, this is who I was when I came here, and now I must go to Jerusalem, the present. Not knowing what was going to take place, the Bible says he was bound to the Spirit or compelled by the Spirit. In other words, he knew that there was hardships awaiting him, but Paul was committed. He was committed to the will of the Lord no matter what. And so he would be surrendered to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This piece of scripture here is very interesting to me, because Paul uses six graphic pictures here of his ministry to explain why he could not quit. He explains why he had to be committed to the Lord. And he gives us six very graphic pictures. Notice the first one that he speaks about here. In verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. That little word there, count, was a term used by the bookkeepers of that day. And so Paul saw himself as an accountant. He examined his assets, he examined his liabilities, and he decided to put Jesus Christ ahead of everything else. Very early in his ministry, Paul willingly made the spiritual the number one priority in his life. He said, I've looked at my life, I've examined this, and I've come up with this, that the best thing I can do is serve Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul declared that he had already died to self. He had been crucified with Christ, and the life that he now lived was the result of Christ living in him. So he saw himself as an accountant. Then he said he saw himself as a runner. Notice what he says, that I may finish my race. He saw himself as a runner who wanted to finish his course in joyful victory. Now, there's three key words there in verse 24, myself, my course, the ministry. Paul realized that his life was a gift to him by God, and that God had a special plan for his life, and he wanted to fulfill that plan in his ministry. The phrase, finish my course, describes well the apostle's lifelong passion. He wanted to finish well the things that God had called him to do. Folks, understand this, that every race has a starting point and a finish line. Every race has a starting point and a finish line. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the writer of Hebrews tells us that we are to enter the race that is set before us. And it tells us to get rid of all those things that would hinder us from running the race well. But it says, get into the race that is set before us. In other words, God has a plan for each and every person sitting in this room today. And the starting point was the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And your race is not going to end until God calls you home. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul wrote near the end of his ministry, he said, I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul says, I've been running, and I've tried to keep faithful, and I'm ready. I've finished my course. So he sees himself as an accountant, he sees himself as a racer, but he also saw himself as a steward. If you look in verse 24, he says, the ministry which I received from the Lord. Now, we know from the scripture that a steward doesn't own anything, but he is put in charge of everything that his master owns. And when Paul's ministry, he looked at his ministry, and he saw that God had entrusted him, as the Bible says there, with the mysteries of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says it's required that stewards be found faithful. And through Paul, God had entrusted him with the message of the gospel. And as he's finishing his, towards the end here, he says, I have been a good steward. I've been a witness, verse 24, to testify to the gospel of grace. Folks, as we share the message of the gospel with others, understand this, and this is what Paul understood. It's a matter of life and death. We can't put a higher priority on that. If a person does not trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, the result, though, that will be eternal judgment from God, which ends in eternal separation. And Paul says, you know, I've taken the thing that God has given to you. I've been a good steward of the message of Christ, and I've been faithful to be a witness to those who have not heard about Christ. He was faithful, not only as a witness, but the Bible says here in verse 25, to be a preacher. Preaching or declaring the message. The idea of the word preacher there, where it says here in verse 25 that he was preaching the kingdom, the word there means a herald to a king. I mean, he was a man that was commissioned and sent with a message. And he understood this, that the message should not change. Dr. Wiersbe says this in his book. He says, the witness tells what happened to him, but the herald tells what the king tells him to declare. And Paul says, I've lived my life as a witness to those around me, but the message that I'm sharing came from the king. It's not mine. It came from the king. I'm sharing what the king has told me to share. I proclaimed it to you. And Paul states here that, unfortunately, they would see him no more. But before he ends this part of the scripture, he says this to them. He said, I've been a faithful watchman. Before his departure, Paul wanted to remind the Ephesian elders that he had faithfully and fully discarded his work in their midst. And he says, I am innocent of anyone's blood, since he had boldly declared the whole plan of God. The point that he's making here is this, watchman, folks. You'll find that in Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 3. It was the responsibility of a watchman to sound the alarm when danger was coming. If you responded to that warning, great. If you did not respond to the warning, that was on you. But if the watchman did not announce the danger, the people's blood would be on him. And Paul says, I've taken the ministry that God has given to me. I've been faithful with it to proclaim it, to preach it, to share it. And he says, I am innocent because everyone that I've come in contact with, I've tried to tell them about Christ. And he preached the whole gospel, calling men to repentance and faith. And now the responsibility rested with them. Paul says, you're not going to see my face anymore. Elders, I'm leaving. I'm leaving Ephesus. You're not going to see me anymore. I've been the faithful watchman. It's your turn, your responsibility. But you know, this book was written over 2,000 years ago. The Ephesian elders are no longer here. The message is relevant. It's our responsibility now. It was Paul's responsibility. It was the Ephesian elders and church's responsibility. And folks, now it is our responsibility to demonstrate to others our commitment to share the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how he finishes this word with them. He says in verse 28, therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold. Yes, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said is more blessed to give than receive. And when he had said these things, they knelt down and he prayed with them. Paul has set an example for us. And as he closes this section of his letter, he shares his concern for the church and the challenge to the church. Paul says, be on guard, church. Be on guard for yourself and all the flock. Paul warned them that the dangers they had to recognize that there was dangers. They needed to protect the flock. They were to be shepherds over the household of the Lord. Their responsibility could not be overstated. Their responsibility to guard the flock of God. Folks, those in leadership here, myself, Pastor David, our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, our junior church workers, our preschool workers, all of us, we cannot take our responsibility lightly. Why? Listen to me. Because the church belongs to God. That's why we must take that responsibility. The church belongs to God. He purchased it with his blood. And since God pays such a high price for the redeemed community, we as elders and leaders must guard them against the enemy. And Paul calls them here the savage wolves. And we know that that term is used in the New Testament to speak about false teachers. And that's how Paul referred to them. And he warns them about those who would come from the outside of the church that try to destroy the church. And folks, it is happening today. But he also warns about those that would be inside the church that would try to destroy the church, that would bring false teaching to the church. If you read chapter 2 and chapter 3, the book of the Revelation, remember John wrote them. And so it's not many years after this is written that I believe the seven churches are seven literal churches, myself personally. And if you read them, do you see the corruption in the church in just a few years? Losing their love, lukewarm, allowing the teachings of Baal, all these different things that were taking place. Paul says, when he's leaving, he says, you need to protect the church. Guard them. Don't let that kind of teaching come in. Dr. Wiersbe says how important it is that believers know the word of God and be able to detect and defend these religious, I like what he says, racketeers. Because they come after us, folks. Those of us in leadership, we need to take that responsibility to guard the flock of God. And he tells the church this in verse 31. He says, stay alert. Stay alert. We need to know what trends are taking place, what cults are on the move, what heresies or false teachings are present. Folks, and you see it all over the day. Some of the national denominations, and I won't spend time on that, but you know what it is and how they've taken the Word of God and discarded it to meet our woke society. We need to know what's going on there. Because we can't protect the flock and teach them right if we don't know what's going on. And so he says, stay alert. Remember. Remember, he says. Remember how consistently he warned them night and day. He was telling them to remember their spiritual responsibilities. Paul had a caring and a heart and he loved God's people. And it would hurt him to think that anybody would come in and deceive the church. He said, remember, trust God. Verse 32, just trust God. It's critical that the elders depend on God and the message of his grace. Folks, let me say this. God cannot use us to build up the church unless God is building us up ourselves. If God is going to use you and me to further the kingdom here, it begins with us allowing God to build us up. And then we can be used by him. Dr. Phillips writes in his book, he said Paul had done all he could. Paul, through the Holy Spirit and God, had done all he could. Now it was up to God and up to them. He said, guard yourself. Guard yourself against covetousness, that pride and that desire to have even more. Covetousness, folks, is idolatry. And he says, don't do that. Don't be lazy. I love that one. Don't be lazy. If you know the story of the Apostle Paul, there were many times where Paul, he could have had the authority as apostle to tell the churches, hey, support me. But he didn't do that. Remember, he worked with Aquila and Priscilla, and then he made tents. I always see Paul this way, as the first bivocational pastor, you know. And so if Paul could be a bivocational pastor, then there's nothing wrong with that. But can you imagine the hours of working day and day, all day long, and then spending your evenings witnessing and telling people about the Lord? But Paul wasn't afraid of hard work. He wasn't afraid of rolling up his sleeves and doing what he had to do so that the ministry could continue on. Church, he says, listen, you need to be on guard. You need to stay awake. You need to remember. You need to trust God. Don't be lazy. Serve the Lord and be generous, is what he says in verse 35. The ministry, folks, means giving, not getting. It means following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word help or support there, the weak literally means to take by the hand. Folks, we talk about sharing the gospel here, but we must not ignore the practical side of the gospel. There are folks out there that need help. And it's our responsibility as it be a good testimony to help people when we can. This is helping people right here, these boxes right here. But there's many other ways. People need a ride or somebody needs something. You know, there's many different ways that we can help other individuals. And he tells us to be generous. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility as leaders. It's also the responsibility of the family of God to do all that we can to protect the family of God, to set an example to others. To set an example. And the example that we follow, yes, follow Paul, but only as he said, only as I follow Christ. As we look at Christ and follow his example, people are looking at us. And we need to trust and follow the Lord. And when we do that, the church will continue to grow in this ungodly world around us. Folks, we live in a very ungodly world today. And somebody is looking at you. We need to be that example. We need to be that example that Paul spoke about here. We need to be encouraging one another. Setting that example of the Lord Jesus Christ. People need to see that we're real. They need to see our character, that we're real. Our ministry is real. We're doing it for the reason that we love Jesus and we love other people. And they need to see that we're not only ministering, but we'll hang in there. We'll keep at it no matter what. They need to see us taking our commitment to the Lord no matter what. You know, I pray every morning for our missionaries. And as I think of this situation that's going on in Israel right now, and the Palestinians, the Muslims, and all of that, do you realize how much more danger our missionaries are in right now around the world? But I don't hear them coming home from the field. They're there. What we can do now, of course, is support them and pray for them. And we're probably going to receive more persecution here in our own areas as our society grows more and more immoral. Let us be committed to the Lord. Let us follow the example that Paul has given. Let us follow these charges that he has given to us to watch over the family of God and continue to pray the word of God. May we stay awake. May we roll up our sleeves and go to work. You know, go to work seeking to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And as I said, someone is watching you. When we were at Oglethown Baptist, it was a very large church, and I'd be out on the construction site, and more than one time, I either was witnessing to somebody, and they would say, well, we knew who you are. Well, I didn't know who they were, you know, but occasionally I would preach and open the worship service, and I'd always thought to myself, oh my gosh, I'm glad I was not doing anything wrong, you know. And I remember one time where we were in a place where it was, we were working very, very close to 70,000 volts of electric, and the engineer came to me and he says, you need to be careful around them wires. And I said, well, I will be. I said, you know, before I ever do anything like this, I said, I'll always pray about it. I figured I'd witness to him. He says, I know you did, Greg. That's what you told us when you were preaching the other day. I didn't know who he was, you know. He was a somebody. You never know who's looking at you. Could it be your grandson and granddaughter? Could it be your children? Could it be your person? You don't know. Paul says, from the very first day I came to you, I did not shrink from my responsibility to teach you and preach the word of God and set an example before you. And the folks, that is a message for us today. You're here in part of First Baptist Church of Elkton. May we be known as a church that preaches the word of God and that is committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing is going to stop us. And one day, like the Apostle Paul, we will be able to say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day and the opportunity we've had to serve you. Father, your word is just unbelievable. Your word, I don't even, we talk about it all the time, and just how you speak to us. This is the Apostle Paul. We know the story. We know he's going to Jerusalem. We know he's going to wind up a martyr death. But he reminds us, no matter what, let us set that example to those that are watching us. And it is my prayer today that each and every one of us today would make that commitment. That commitment to be faithful, to teach and to share Christ with those who need to hear. Committed to the race that you have given to us to run. Working alongside of one another to preserve the gospel message. Help us today to be the example that Christ is looking for today, that the kingdom of God can continue to grow. Father, it is our prayer this morning. There's someone with us today, maybe somebody watching by Facebook that does not know Christ. That's the first step. Asking for forgiveness, asking Christ to save them. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May that be true today. For us here today that are believers, Father, may you just refresh us, encourage us, renew our commitment to you today. Our altars are open if anyone needs to pray, join the church, be baptized, whatever it might be. We open our hearts and we want to be submissive to you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.